Tuesday, November 19th. First reading from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 and verses 14 through 22. I, John, heard the Lord saying to me, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write this, the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your works, that you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen what is left, which is going to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then how you accepted and heard, keep it and repent. If you are not watchful, I will come like a thief, and you will never know at what hour I will come upon you. However, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me dressed in white, because they are worthy. The victor will thus be dressed in white, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name in the presence of my Father and of his angels. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write this, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the source of God's creation, says this, I know your works, I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and affluent and have no need of anything, and yet do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments to put on so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed, and buy ointment to smear on your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and chastise. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Haydock Commentary. Thou art neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. A dreadful reprehension, whatever exposition we follow. According to the common interpretation, by the cold are meant those who are guilty of great sins. By the hot, such as are zealous and fervent in piety and the service of God. By the lukewarm or tepid, they who are slothful, negligent, indolent, as to what regards Christian perfection, the practice of virtue, and an exact observance of what regards the service of God. On this account they are many times guilty in the sight of God of great sins. They forfeit the favor and grace of God, fancying themselves good enough and safe because they live as others commonly do, and are not guilty of many scandalous and shameful crimes to which they see others addicted. I wish you were either cold or hot. This is not an absolute wish, because the condition of the cold is certainly worse in itself, but it is to be taken with regard to the different consequences which oftentimes attend these two states, and to signify to us that the lukewarm may be farther from a true conversion, inasmuch as they are less sensible of the dangers to which they remain exposed than such as commit greater sins. Their careless indevotion becomes habitual to them. They live and die with a heart divided betwixt God and the world. Whereas greater and more shameful sinners are not without an abhorrence of such vices which they commit. A fear of punishment, of hell and damnation, strikes them by the mercies of God offered even to sinners, and makes them enter into themselves like the prodigal son. They detest their past lives, and by the assistance of God's graces become both fervent and constant in the duties of a Christian life. Tepidity in a Christian life and in the service of God is oftentimes more dangerous than absolute wickedness. The open sinner is easily made sensible of his danger. He experiences the stings and reproaches of conscience, whilst the tepid Christian lives without remorse, fear, or apprehension, and listens not to those who wish to show him the danger of his situation. I dare venture to affirm, says St. Augustine, that to fall into some public and manifest sin would be of advantage to the proud, that so those who by their self-complacency had so often fallen before may now become displeased with themselves and humble. To the lukewarm it is said, I will begin to vomit thee out of my mouth. That is, if thou continue in that state, I will permit thee to run on and be lost in thy sins. Thou blindly sayest within thyself, I am rich, etc. A false conscience generally attends a lukewarm soul and those who serve God by halves. They flatter themselves that all goes well enough with them when they see that they are not so vicious as many others. But here the Spirit of God, who penetrates the secret folds and windings of slothful souls, admonishes them of their dangerous mistakes, that they are wretched, poor, blind, and naked, when God by His grace does not inhabit their souls, though they may have millions of gold and silver in this world. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that is, the love of God purified by trials and troubles in this life, to recover thy lost innocence, to be clothed with the habit of grace, to anoint thy eyes with eye salve, by a serious reflection on what regards thy eternal salvation. I chastise those whom I love. He concludes all the former admonitions by telling them, first, that to be under trials and troubles is a mark of God's favor and his paternal care. Secondly, to hearken to the voice of God when he knocks at the door of their heart. And thirdly, he promises them the reward of eternal happiness. He that overcomes shall sit with me on my throne. Though this does not imply an equality of happiness, not even to all the saints, much less with God himself, but only that the elect shall be in the throne as it were of heaven, and partakers of heavenly happiness according to their past good works. The Gospel from Luke chapter 19 verses 1 through 10. At that time Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." Haydock Commentary. St. Ambrose says, "What sinner can despair when he sees the Savior of mankind seeking to save him, when he beholds even a publican and a rich man at the same time, who, as our Savior informs us in another place, are so seldom truly converted, brought to the light of faith and the grace of a true conversion?" St. Cyril says, "Zacchaeus immediately hearkened to the interior voice of the Almighty, calling him to repentance. He made no delay, and therefore deserved immediately not only to see, but to eat, drink, and converse with Jesus." Behold here the three steps of his conversion. 1. An ardent desire of seeing Jesus. 2. The honorable reception he gave him in his house. 3. The complete restitution of all ill-acquired property. Venerable Bede says, "Zacchaeus is here styled as a son of Abraham, that is, his spiritual son, a partaker of the promises made to Abraham according to the Messiah. Not that he was actually born of his seed, but because he imitated his faith. And as Abraham at the voice of God left the land and house of his father, so Zacchaeus renounced his goods and possessions by giving them to the poor."